It's good to see everyone this morning. Again, we hope and pray that you had a blessed week. And hope and pray that the Lord would bless us this morning again with His presence and with His truth. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah, chapter 53. We continue this morning looking at this great subject of prayer. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, though it's worthy of our reading and our meditation, dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for our sins. I wish only this morning to read verse 12 and pray that God would give us grace and utterance to proclaim this great truth concerning intercessory prayer this morning. Verse 12 of Isaiah 53, "Therefore will I divide him," speaking of the Lord, "therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and because he was numbered with the transgressors, and because he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." And made intercession for the transgressors. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning in great need of Thy presence, of Thy truth, and of Thy Spirit. How we do pray that You would forgive us of our sins and iniquities, which are many. We pray that You'd wash us in the precious blood of Your Son. And we pray that You'd open up our hearts and our minds that we might receive Thy truth into good, fertile soil in our hearts. And that, Lord, Thy truth would transform and conform us more and more into the image of Thy blessed Son. We pray, dear God, that You would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do this morning. Oh, Father, we pray, teach us to pray as we ought. Help us, we pray, that we might draw near to Thee, and in drawing near to Thee, You would draw near to us. Forgive us of our great ignorance concerning prayer. Forgive us where we've so often neglected it. Help us, we pray this morning, that we might be revived in our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that we might seek Thy face faithfully, continually. Lord, we pray that You'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And made intercession for the transgressors. You know, dearly beloved, men today would place great emphasis upon knowledge, upon learning, and upon experience. And though all these things have their proper place in true Christianity, it is the lack or neglecting of true prayer, which our Lord Himself declared in Luke chapter 18, which leads to the believers fainting or growing weary. He didn't say it was a lack of knowledge, or lack of experience, or lack of our learning. He said, if you do not or are not men and women of prayer, you will find yourselves fainting and growing weary. It's almost as though he said, if we don't pray, we can never live Christian life in its fullness. We can never enjoy the blessings which we have in Christ and through Christ if we are not men and women of prayer. The trials are many. The afflictions very difficult and hard. And sometimes the way grows so narrow and small that he says, without prayer, you'll never make it. And even though it is God Himself who sustains us and keeps us, it is God Himself who gives us everything that we need, He has divinely ordained that we should receive those things through prayer. And so our Lord says, if you neglect such a duty, such an exercise, such a privilege, you will find yourself fainting on the way. All our knowledge and all our learning and all our experience cannot keep our hearts from fainting without true humble prayer. God can open up His Word to our hearts and fill our hearts and our minds with His wonderful truths, and we can rejoice in the fact that He's shown us so much about Scripture and so much about Himself. But let God place that same man with all that knowledge and all that learning and all that experience in a place to truly try his faith. If he does not combine all that with prayer, he will find himself fainting and growing weary. That is how important and essential prayer is for every true believer. And unfortunately, we live in a generation today which has neglected or which is ignorant to the essential need of prayer. And a prayerless man is a proud and independent man. One who trusts in his own strength and abilities. Because prayer, the very essence of prayer, the very reality, the very nature of prayer is dependence upon God for all things. That's what true prayer is. Not like the righteous Pharisee, but true biblical prayer is showing our great dependence upon God for everything we have need of. I have nothing without God. I know nothing outside of Christ. And I know nothing of Christianity or happiness without God. And yet none of those things can pierce my heart and my soul to the depths in which I need it to be without prayer. There is a sovereign, omnipotent power to prayer. And yet, if we look at our present generation, I believe the evidence of us, of our being prayerless, can be seen everywhere, in all churches and in individual believers. I like what an old man of God said, McGregor. Very true what he said. He said, "I would rather train 20 men to pray than 1,000 to preach. I would rather train 20 men to pray than 1,000 to preach." That's not the mindset of this present generation. Believe me, I was on the missions field for over 35 years. Churches believe if we just train young men and send them out in the mission field, that's all they need. Yet I found out quickly myself and in others that if they are not men of prayer, no matter what they learned in school, no matter what good or how good the seminary was, or no matter how well their theology was, if they knew nothing of prayer, all that was for nothing. When they met the trials and afflictions, would meet missionaries on the field. He goes on to say, a minister's highest mission ought to be to teach his people to pray. A minister's highest mission ought to be to teach his people to pray. Yeah. Beloved, how true that is. One of the greatest responsibilities of a pastor should be to teach his congregation how to pray. Not him being the example, but teaching them scriptural principles on how to pray. Teaching them to trust in the Holy Spirit of God to help them, to give them utterance. Teaching them to trust in the Word of God as they pray. Teaching them the very basic principles of prayer. Beloved, I believe if our churches began doing that like in days of old, I believe that we wouldn't see so many schisms and divisions amongst God's people. There is something about prayer that has a powerful, sovereign, working, effectual working in the heart of the believer that changes us. Unity amongst believers could never be accomplished without prayer. I believe that with all my heart. Believe all the doctrine you want to. Have them all lined up. Have your theology in its right place. But if we're not men and women of prayer, unity will never, ever be established. Amen. Because not only is prayer sovereign, or has a sovereign power, prayer has a humbling grace to it. It humbles us, not only before God, but before one another. If we're truly praying in the right spirit, then we're going to be humble men and women. And when we're humble men and women, unity becomes easier. Because we're not full of pride and arrogancy and bitterness and wrath and envy. Has a humbling virtue to it. That's why I asked the question this morning to myself and to all listening, could this possibly be the leading cause of the great spiritual deadness which abounds in so many churches today? The lack of true godliness, brotherly love, and unity amongst believers? And could such neglecting of true prayer also be the leading cause of the gospel's unsuccessfulness? I say that cautiously because I do believe in God's sovereignty. I do believe in the power of the gospel, which is the only thing powerful enough to save sinners, according to Romans chapter 1. And yet if you read Scripture, you'll find out that much of that is dependent on how well the church prays. I'm not there now, but did not the Lord say to His disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that He send forth laborers"? It's almost as though He said, if you don't pray or intercede on behalf of the multitude, that God would send forth laborers, God, the Lord of the harvest, will not do it. It's amazing how Scripture reveals such a divine balance to us when it comes to the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Beloved, that's true because all true prayer, and I hope and pray that you'll begin to understand that a little bit more through this series and especially this morning, all true prayer not only shapes and conforms our character and mightily affects our own lives, but beloved, it will also mightily affect the lives of others. And I'm a strong believer of that. Prayer shapes and conforms our character. And it also affects our lives mightily. But if we believe in true prayer, it'll also affect the lives of others. You mean my prayer can affect the lives of others? Most certainly. You mean by my praying, I can affect the lives of others, sinners and saints? And I say, according to Scripture, most definitely. Prayer changes you and I. It's got a transforming, effectual work in it when we pray. It forms our character. It conforms us more and more into the image of Christ. And it not only affects us, but it affects others as well. I'm a strong believer of that. But I've never heard such negativism against prayer and the effectual working of prayer until I returned to America 4 years ago. It's as though Christians and churches don't believe in the power of prayer anymore. They desire to see changes in themselves and others, and yet they lack that one grace, that one virtue, which alone is able to do that. That's prayer. Leads us this morning to our fifth heading under true prayer, namely that of intercessory prayer. Here in verse 12, at the latter part of this verse 12, it said, because He made intercession for the transgressors. He interceded for the transgressors. I've said this before, but I'd love to say it again. John Milton once said, the end of all learning is to know God. The end of all learning is to know God. And out of that knowledge, I love this part, and out of that knowledge, to love and imitate Him. That is when scriptural truths have really taken hold of our hearts, that we're not just simply rejoicing over the fact that we've learned something new, that God has enlightened us, but that when that knowledge begins to transform us and gives us a desire to imitate Christ, that is when that knowledge has truly found place in our hearts. And beloved, if we could but imitate our beloved Lord and Savior when it comes to the life of praying, then it would truly show an evidence to others that we've truly learned of Christ. Because when Christ walked amongst men, He gave Himself to prayer. Do you know that? He gave Himself to the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. He gave himself to prayer as he walked amongst men, often continuing all night in prayer or rising up a great while before day, in solitary as well as in public places, compassionately, perseveringly, with strong crying and tears, Hebrews says, believingly, patiently, and unceasingly. Our Lord gave himself continually to prayer as he walked amongst men. Everywhere he went, our Lord was praying. Does that not prove to us how essential prayer is? If the Son of God, as he walked amongst men, gave himself to prayer, how much more must we give ourselves to prayer? And yet he was our eminent example. Even now, according to this verse, as he sits at the right hand of God, he continues to effectually and compassionately intercede for sinners. In everything our Lord did and said in this life, in all his offices, in all his sacrifices, our Lord had an eye to sin and sinners. He interceded constantly, continuously, perseveringly, believingly, unceasingly for sinners. And if we've learned of Christ, our prayer is going to be filled with that same Spirit, interceding on behalf of others. Intercession was and continues to be a major part of all Christ's prayers. And to imitate our Lord in such a manner is the greatest evidence that we have truly learned of Christ. We underestimate the power and effectual working of intercessory prayer. Yet in all his praying, intercession was the constraining force behind everything he prayed for. He always interceded for others. We miss so much of that. We lack so much belief in the power of prayer. Not only in our own lives, but in it being effectual in other people's lives. It's because we see the lack of it in our own lives that we have doubts and fears of it working in other people's lives. We do live in a generation, and I've said it often, that believes in the formality of prayer and not in the reality of prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you see someone that needs to be changed, corrected, transformed, helped, strengthened, comforted, we always revert back to our own methods and our own strength, seeking to change them with our own words and our own actions rather than trusting in prayer, which alone can change people, comfort people, strengthen people, help people, transform people. We believe this, there wouldn't be so many schisms and divisions amongst Christians. If Christians knew what it was to intercede on one another's behalf, beloved, I guarantee you 90% of all schisms and divisions would be resolved. There's something wrong with my brother, my sister, something wrong with the pastor. And instead of interceding on their behalf, beseeching God to change them, to make them see things, to open their hearts, and patiently praying for them, lovingly waiting for God to do something in them, we get impatient, and because it's not done in a time span of our own choosing, we leave, depart, divide ourselves. If we were really, truly men and women of prayer, our lives and our characters would be different than what they are in relationships to one another. You know, beloved, there's a lot of divisions and schisms amongst Christians and between preacher and churches that cannot be healed unless we pray about it. I like what Calvin said too about intercessory prayer. He said the following: to make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. Interceding for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. We love someone, we pray for them. And when we begin to pray for them, it's hard when we pour our hearts out to God for somebody else's weaknesses and shortcomings and infirmities not to love them in spite of that. Isn't that how our Lord works? Doesn't our Lord see our many infirmities and weaknesses, and yet He still loves us? And when I'm pouring my heart out because of the weaknesses and infirmities and even the offenses of others towards myself, it's going to make me truly love them in spite of all of that. Christians are so quick to divide and separate from one another. Simply saying, well, I prayed about it. And that was all of it. That was all of it right there. I prayed about it. But if we labor in prayer for somebody's spiritual well-being, beloved, it's going to change the way we feel about them. It's going to change the way we love them. And we're going to love as God loves. We're going to love them in spite of all their weaknesses and failures. You know, intercessory prayer has a twofold work to it. It not only affects the lives of others, but it also affects our own lives. And that's what I really want you to understand this morning. When we intercede for others, it not only affects the lives of others, it will also mightily affect our lives. Because, like I've said, the principle is when you put a lot of labor into something, it means a lot more to you. And when you put a lot of labor in praying for others, it's going to affect them because God blesses that kind of prayer, and it's going to affect us. Wouldn't it be nice to love someone even though they don't love us in return? Didn't our Lord say, pray for them who despitefully use you and abuse you and afflict you and persecute you? Isn't that what He said? And yet, we do not practice that amongst ourselves as believers. How can we ever think about practicing that amongst unbelievers? You know, most Christians have more patience with unbelievers than they do with believers. That ought not to be. We ought to be long-suffering with one another. Patient with one another. We're Christians. It's the cause of Christ we're talking about here. When we have differences, when we have things that involve our lives, that the world looks upon Christianity and they judge Christianity according to our actions, we should be very sensitive to the fact that whatever we do, all our actions, reflects to the world true Christianity and the cause of Christ. That would make us be a lot more long-suffering and patient. God has sovereignly ordained intercessory prayer to work mightily and effectively in the life of those for whom we intercede. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe when you pray for something, God actually will honor your prayer? And again, I don't want us to get lost in that. God is sovereign in the point to where it doesn't matter. Why do I say that? Because if you believe to the fact that no matter what I ask, God's going to do what He does anyway, you're not going to believe that what you're asking God is going to be effectual. You know, you can believe in God's sovereignty and that God will do what He wants to do, and also believe that God will answer your prayers if you believed in prayer. Your prayers and my prayers, when we pray right, in the spirit of true prayer, it can and will affect other people's lives mightily. Our nation was based upon Christian principles. People, men and women, who believed in prayer. Nations have been changed by prayer. Communities, families, churches have been changed by prayer. There's not a soul in this room that's come to know Christ who hasn't come to know Him because of an intercessory prayer, either it be by our loved ones, family, churches, friends, saints, and most of all, of Him who maketh intercession for us, it was prayer. Prayer changes things. It changes people. Remember Moses interceding on behalf of Israel? God said, I'm going to wipe them all out and make you a nation. Moses interceded on behalf of Israel, and Moses' intercession on behalf of Israel saved their lives. I won't go into the details of that, but I'm sure you've read it. God wanted to show us through Moses that Moses didn't change God's mind. Moses' intercessory prayer was part of God's divine will. He wanted Moses to intercede on behalf of Israel so that they might be saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God wants us to pray on behalf of sinners that they might be saved? Or are we so lost in the doctrine of election we're afraid we're going to pray somebody to heaven who wasn't ordained to go there? I preached a message once time in North Carolina. A big congregation came over to visit the church when I was in Germany. A big church. And I preached on, pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest. And I emphasized that point, that you need to pray and believe that God will hear your prayers and save someone. And another lady came up to me after the service, and she was about in her mid-80s, and she said, you know, for over 40 years, I've been praying for my grandson, but every time I prayed, there was this question in my mind, if God doesn't want to save him, he's not going to be saved. She said, you answered that question today. And she said, God's going to honor my prayer, and I'm going to believe he's going to save my grandson. And tears were flowing down her cheeks. You see, sometimes our theology gets in our way. All things whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive. We need to start believing that. Remember what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians? He said this, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. What? Pray that the Word of God have free course? Is not the Word of God sovereign? Can do whatever it wants to? Does it matter what the men do or say? Of course we believe that. But Paul says, it's upon your prayers. Pray that it have free course and be glorified. You see that? You see how he puts prayer in that and says, it's dependent upon your praying that it have free course? You know, our very own salvation is due to Christ making intercession for transgressors. You know that? Now, my grandma said she prayed for me for over 21 years to be saved. She wasn't surprised when I got saved, and I thank God for her praying for us. But you know why I'm saved? You know why you're saved if you're saved this morning? I'll tell you why. Because somebody made intercession for you. And you know who that was? It was the great mediator, the one mediator between God and man. He interceded for your soul. And because of that reason and that reason alone are we saved. He made intercession for transgressors. He made intercession for transgressors. Beloved, if we desire to see people changed, strengthened, comforted, encouraged, transformed, even saved, then let us ever intercede on their behalf. Let us believe in intercessory prayer. And not always praying for others with this doubt in our mind. Or afraid that we're going to offend the sovereignty of God if we don't say, if it be thy will. Let us pray, believing that God will honor and bless our prayers. And if we die without that prayer being answered, still believing that I didn't cease praying as I ought, it affects the lives of others. I also believe that we're living in a generation that has more blood on their hand than any generation before us. You know how many people are dying and going to hell every minute, every second of the day? Coleman ain't no better. It's a small town, but there's people here dying without Christ. Even though we have 22 so-called churches in Coleman. If you went to the average church in Coleman and asked them how many conversions they've seen, true conversions they've seen in the past 3 months, I'd be surprised if they told you more than two or three. If that many. We don't pray for sinners as we ought. But we ought to. You remember the story about the man that was in the bed, had the sickness, and they couldn't reach Christ, so they took the roof off? Remember, and they lowered him down? If you'll read that story, Listen to the words real carefully. The Lord said upon their faith. This man didn't have enough faith because he couldn't move. He said, these men had enough faith. They lowered him down into the presence. He said, because of their faith, this man was healed. I'm telling you, the prayers of a righteous man effecteth much. God has called on us to pray for sinners that they might come to know Christ. And to pray for one another that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, if we just believed that our prayers work effectually in other people's lives, I'm telling you, we would be more like our Savior. When Peter was facing Satan sifting, what did our Lord do? Did He say, I'm going to stand there and draw the sword? He said, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. May God give us grace to pray for others. Your prayers can be effectual if we pray in faith, believing, perseveringly, trusting in God. And lastly, the second thing, and real quickly, intercessory prayer will affect our own lives. George Whitefield, famous preacher in the 18th century, preached here also here in Georgia, in England, went back and forth, made a lot of orphans on the East Coast. Benjamin Franklin heard him one time. Couldn't believe that 30,000 people open air could hear him. 30,000 people. I've preached 14 years in open air. It's difficult. Your voice is lost in the wind. He preached to 30,000. Benjamin Franklin didn't believe it, so he stood on the outskirts of 30,000. He was amazed. He said, 30,000 people open air. He said, I could hear him clearly at the very edge of 30,000 people. He said, you could hear a pin drop. That's how concentrated they was on listening to George Whitefield preach. He had a voice like a foghorn. Could preach the grace of God in such a miraculous way. Loved sinners. Crossing the ocean one day on a ship with a bunch of sailors, he'd witness to them all day long. At the end of the day, when it was close to midnight, he got back to his cabin. Would be up every morning at 3 or 4 in the morning so he could pray and then start witnessing the men again. Got back late at night in his cabin, wrote in his journal. He said, God, I pray that I am not guilty of any man's losing his soul because of my negligence. That same man said this. Oh, intercession is a most delightful exercise. How does it sweeten and purify the heart? I read his journals and I read that portion that night when he wrote that. And he said he had such sweet comfort interceding for others. Beloved, if we truly believed in prayer, we would be interceding for them, believing that our prayers, by God's grace and God's sovereign power, can change them. But it will not only change them, it'll change you and me. It will. You got trouble with another believer? Begin praying for them and watch how your love and compassion for them changes. I'm telling you, it shapens our character. We're not going to spend a lot of time in prayer for someone and not come out loving them more. God, give us grace to be men and women of prayer. Learning and knowing and believing that prayer changes nations, worlds, people. If we believe that, our prayer lives will change. And beloved, we see God do some miraculous things in our midst. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't stop praying when He purged our sins on Calvary. He ever lives. To what? To make intercession. He's still praying. Isn't that proof of how essential prayer is? If He still must needs pray in heaven, must we not pray more on earth? May God give us grace to believe this. God give us grace to practice it. And God give us grace to believe it with all our hearts. Amen? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, these will be simply words. Men's words of no avail if the Spirit of God does not intercede, intervene, and aid us this morning. Lord, we have failed thee as a nation. I was encouraged this morning when I read the news that a city here in America is declaring today a day of prayer because of the oil spill. That God might intervene. I was encouraged that this came from the state senate in that state to pray or to make this a day of prayer for an oil spill, that it might somehow, God, you might divinely intervene in that. That was an encouragement for me. Lord, I pray that you'd help our nation. We once believed in prayer. We once believed in intercessory prayer. God, help us that we might find that refuge and that comfort and that strength. Help us to imitate our blessed Lord and Savior, who is the one mediator between God and man, who ever liveth to make intercession. Help us by Thy grace to imitate Him in this great virtue and practice of prayer, believing, dear God, that it works effectually in others and mightily in ourselves. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.